Good Shepherd Sunday, and these are really cool readings. They're amazing. We're in the Easter season, but the Easter season is going somewhere. Every Sunday right now is going to be heading toward Pentecost. Because in the resurrection, Jesus, who was dead, became filled with life again. God breathed his spirit back into his son, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus in the resurrection and Easter was filled with life. On Pentecost, his apostles, who even after the resurrection are still filled with fear and confusion, they are going to be filled with God's abundant life. They're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And those apostles, Jesus' first priests, become the ministers of this abundant life, so that all who come to believe in Jesus and turn away from evil and believe in him might be filled with his life, filled with his Holy Spirit through the sacraments. The first sacrament that you enter into this, in which you become dead to sin, is baptism. And so right after Pentecost, this is when we hear this speech from Peter. They've just received the Holy Spirit, and Peter, the head shepherd of these shepherds of priests, comes out and he speaks to the people who they were just afraid of. They were locked in the upper room because they were afraid they were going to be killed. And he speaks to the people who 53 days before were chanting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he gives his homily to them. And 3,000 were baptized. 3,000. These priests, they're ministers of this life of God, the life of the resurrection, the life of Pentecost through the sacraments. Do you remember who the original priests of Israel were? The original priests were those who were the firstborn sons. When the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, the last plague to come, which finally freed them from that land of death, was when the angel of death came around to every single home in Egypt and slayed the firstborn. And so what did God have his people do? The firstborn son took and they offered in sacrifice the lamb, the innocent lamb, and the blood of that lamb, where was it put? It was put on the doorposts. I knew you knew the answer. I saw that hand come right up. He knew exactly what the answer was. The blood was put on the doorposts. And those first priests, through this sacrificial act, were the ministers of life because the angel of death passed by them. And they were allowed then to leave, and they passed through the waters of the Red Sea into the land of freedom. Very quickly, though, those first priests, their priesthood was taken away from them. Why? Because Moses, when he went up Mount Sinai to receive the law from the Lord, the Ten Commandments, when he came back down, what did he find? The people very quickly, led by these firstborn sons, were worshiping a golden calf. They had turned to idolatry. What they had just been freed from in Egypt, they had turned right back to. And they were worshiping this golden calf, and they were raising up in revelry, in lewd sin. And so what did Moses do? He came to the gateway of the camp, the doorway of the camp where everyone was. And he said, "Those who are with the Lord God, come to me. Those who are on God's side, come to me." And you know, the only people who came to him were the sons of the tribe of Levi, the Levites. And they came and stood with Moses in the gateway. And the others would not come. They would not repent. And so these became the new priests. And what was their first priestly act? Their first priestly act was to go and to slaughter 3,000 of those who would not return. Why? You're like, that's cruel of God. These were the shepherds who were meant to be the ministers of life, protecting God's people, leading them to God. And instead, they had turned and did the exact opposite and led them to the gateways of hell, worshiping idols, and they would not turn. And so 3,000 were slaughtered on that day by these new priests, the Levites. They were slaughtered because they had become evil shepherds. Pentecost, the priests of the New Testament, the apostles, what was their first priestly act? Peter preached to them, and they brought back to life about 3,000 people. They brought them back to life through the waters of baptism. And Peter, remember, just as Moses came to the people and he accused them of the sin that they had done, Peter comes and he speaks to those who had killed Jesus. And it tells us that when Peter spoke to them, they were cut to the heart. And they said, "What must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in Jesus Christ." And the 3,000 did. Peter went and did what Moses did. And those who turned and came were baptized, and they were brought back to life. In the second reading, it's a reading from Peter when he's now been the chief shepherd for a number of years. He's been the pope leading the church, and he's writing now with wisdom. And he writes this line that it's by his wounds that we have been healed. That it's by the wounds of Jesus Christ and his wound of death and us entering into that wound that we're healed. Us entering into his baptism, into his death, that we are healed. In the gospel, Jesus says he is the good shepherd. Now to understand, shepherds in first century Israel, they didn't just build a corral. It's not like we have farmers do today. When I was a kid on our farm, we had to build this new corral. My dad was off working, and so my younger brother and I were supposed to build it. And our dad showed us how to do it. And we had all fall to do it. We never got it done. And so when dad came back, and it was around winter, we had to build it in the wintertime. And that was awful. But it wasn't like that back then. They didn't have corrals that you would just build, and okay, here's a fence that's built to keep your sheep in. Instead, the shepherds were nomadic. They would go to different pasture lands, and they would graze it for a while. They would stay for a little while, and then they'd pick up and go to another land. When I was a little kid, one of the things I did for most summer days is I herded cattle. Dad had all these boys, and he was wise, and he knew I want to keep them at work. It's a good thing. And so he put out the cattle, and in the ditches and in different areas around the farm, we would watch them, or not watch them. Sit there and sleep in the grass, and the cows would go off into the neighbor's field. Dad would come down with the four-wheeler screeching. But it occurred to me later on, I'm like, you know, why didn't we just build an electric fence? It would have taken a couple hours. But instead, he wanted us to watch them. But this is what it was like to shepherd during Jesus' time. That a shepherd would build a little area in which to keep the sheep at night. He would stack rocks, take tree branches, build a little area, and there would be one gateway because you have to bring the sheep in and out. But when was the only time you would actually put the sheep in there? Just at night. The other times they're out in the open, pasturing. But at night you want to keep them together and keep them safe. And so you put them in this makeshift place, sheep pen. And so the shepherd would sit in the gateway. And what would he do there? Because it's night. That's where he would sleep. And so when Jesus says, I am the gate, he is the one who is sleeping there at the gateway. That it's there that Jesus died to protect his sheep. And it's through passing through that gateway, passing through the death of Jesus in baptism, that we enter into the sheepfold, that we become a part of the church, and that we're filled with this life of God that Jesus received at the resurrection, that they received at Pentecost. We're filled with that through entering through the sheep gate where Jesus sleeps. The same gate that Moses stood in with the Levites, and the same gate that the first priests upon their doorways painted in blood. Jesus says he is the good shepherd, and he's appointed shepherds. Throughout the world, he's appointed shepherds in his church, in the family, and in society, rightly ordered in that way. The church, think about it, it's the church that protects and fosters the family. And it's the family which protects and fosters the society at all of its different levels. And so in the church, it's the bishops and we priests who are shepherds. And the church, the problem the church has is not that she needs more shepherds. She needs good shepherds. The church needs good shepherds. What does that look like? It looks like the good shepherd, Jesus, of listening to the voice of God and seeking him. Of leading, of calling his sheep to repentance and to new life. Leading them in the sacrifice and in prayer. And offering sacrifice, the sheep, the shepherds of the church, laying down their own life daily, dying to themselves daily. Dads, you're shepherds. You are the shepherds of your family. Be good shepherds. What does that look like? It looks like the good shepherd Jesus listening to the voice of God, seeking him in prayer yourself, and leading dads, leading your families in prayer, and offering sacrifice. You protect your families. You stand in the gateway, and you protect your families, and you do that by offering sacrifice, by dying to yourself daily. The good shepherd, the good dad, lays down his life for his family. And everyone, in your baptism, you were baptized priest, prophet, and king. You are all, in every level of your life, you are shepherds. Be good shepherds. What does that look like? To lead those you encounter, your friends, those in your businesses, your co-workers, you will either lead them toward Christ or away from him. There's a lot of voices in society. Which one are you listening to? Which one are you echoing? To be good shepherds in every area of life that God has placed you. Jesus has come that we might have life. The same life he received in his resurrection, the same life he gave to his apostles at Pentecost, and the apostles, in the person of Jesus Christ, give to us in the sacraments to protect us from the one who came to kill and steal and destroy, but that we might have his life and have it more abundantly. Don't just be shepherds, be good shepherds.